Thank you all for being here this morning. It is a great and wonderful day outside, and the Lord is going to take care of our aspirations for beautiful weather. And we're so thankful. It's supposed to be 82 today, and that's a wonderful thought. Spring is around the corner, and all the pollen is floating as well. You know, sometimes we forget just what a difference you can make in the lives of other people. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you really making a difference wherever you are? There are so many ways that we do that. And when we read in the book of Jude 1 and 22, Jude wrote, "And some have compassion, making a difference." I really believe that there are a lot of ways that you and I are called upon to make a difference in life. And not only in our own life, but in the lives of other people as well. There are four things you need to know to be able to do that, and I want to leave those with you this morning. And first of all, I would tell you, you should say, "I am not a victim." You know, a lot of people cannot make a difference in life because they're so wrapped up in this idea that I am a victim. A lot of people look at their lives and they feel that they maybe haven't measured up to someone else, or God has not blessed them as well as He has blessed other people in some way or another. And so we look at our life, but the only one who is responsible for me is me. And the only one who is really responsible for you is you, believe it or not. I am convinced also that I am responsible for me. And I believe that someday I will stand before the great judge of the earth and answer for the way that I have lived my life. I've chosen to live my life. And by the way, God doesn't force you to serve Him. He doesn't force you, but He gives you opportunities wherein you might serve and honor Him. But a lot of people go around with that attitude. I am the victim. Someone hurt me. Someone did something to offend me. And so instead of really feeling that you are offended, be grateful that you are not the offender. You know, God places a great responsibility upon the offender as well as the offended. But we're not really victims. And when we look at our lives and we say, "Well, I'm a victim," that is a big, big error in your life. It is one that you must conquer if you're going to be victimless in your life. In the book of Philippians 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul, the great evangelist, made this statement: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and with your petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests unto God." Sometimes instead of going around lamenting about what life could have been for you, but it wasn't, and you feel bad about your life, you can't get happy anymore, you've lost your joy that Jesus came to the world to give, remember that God is there for you. And when Paul wrote to the Roman church, one of the great epistles is the book of Romans. And in this book, beginning in about verse 38, he said, "For I am persuaded in neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth," and he says, "nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord." Now, we have to remember that God loves us, and because He loves us, we are not a victim. He was a victim. He was. Jesus died upon the cross as a victim of the tyranny and the horrible attitude of a lot of people. They envied Christ because the people loved Him, and what He taught was so consistent with the teaching of God. And Paul says that, "I'm persuaded that none of these things are going to separate me from the love of my God who is in heaven." You know, what do you really learn about the life of Paul? I can tell you that Paul was one who made a difference. You know, you can look around at people and you can see the ones that are really making a difference. in their life and in the lives of other people. And then you can see other people who are not making a difference. They only see themselves as poor me. They are pitiful, and they feel like, you know, you just don't know what I'm going through in life. I'm going to tell you, everybody goes through problems, and everybody has issues in life. Job 14, 1 and 2 says that man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It is going to come. But we have to be conquered by the powerful, not by the pitiful. Do you ever get the feeling sometimes that you're just kind of walking through life by yourself and no one is there with you? One thing we have to remember is that God is with us. You remember those words of Christ in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, when he says, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." And he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then he says, "Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now listen to this last little part here. It so often goes into obscurity. "And I will be with you always." God is going to be with us. We do not walk through this world alone. But we have to ask ourselves the question that Paul asked. And it was rhetorical. He said, "If God is for you, who can be against you? Is there any power in this world that is greater than the power of God?" I don't think so. John wrote in his ministry and in his epistle, he made the statement, he said, "Greater is he that is within you than he that's out there in the world." And he's talking about the demonic spirits of the world. He said, God is greater. He lives in you. The devil doesn't have to live in you. You no longer have to be a victim. For Paul writes in Romans 8, 37, when he talks about the things that cannot separate us from God, he said, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us." Paul was one who was very quick to acknowledge his appreciation for all that people did, especially Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57, he said, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're not victims. We're victors. And we are victorious over the sin and the corruption of this world. And we need to move from a mindset that says, "I'm just pitiful, woe's me," to a powerful mindset that said that God is with me and I have no fears or apprehensions. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Revelation 21 and verse 7. But you know, sometimes we look at little kiddos. I look at adults who act this way. Sometimes I see little kids that cry, you know, and they get all upset and all worked up. And we just look at them, we say, "Isn't that pitiful? You know, isn't he pitiful?" But you know what? I look at adults sometimes that are really acting like little children, and they see themselves as victims. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. I'm always the outsider. You know what? If you're always the outsider, you need to examine your life. Why is that happening? Who wants to be around a victim in their own mind? I want to be around the victors, don't you? I want to be around the people that are serving God and doing his will. Did you know that God woke us up this morning not to be pitiful, but to be powerful in Jesus' name? I like the book of John chapter 1 and verse 12. "To them that receive him gave he the power to become the sons of God." He gave us the power to become the sons of God, and not just become God's children, but to serve him and honor him. "My life is in you, O Lord," someone said, "and my strength is in you." Let me ask you a question this morning. Is your life in the hands of God? Or have you taken yourself out of the hands of God? Is your strength in the Lord? It should be. Powerful thinking brings about powerful results. As a man thinketh in his heart, Solomon said in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we are the product of our own thinking and our own mentality. And that's why it's wrong for an individual to say, I'm a victim. You're not a victim. God wants us to be a victor. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We often sing that old hymn, do we not? Victory in Jesus. And we really do have victory in Christ. There's another thought that I want to share with you this morning in this idea concept of making a difference in life. You will never make a difference in life if you are out of control. That's why God puts us in control. Did you know that? When you read over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the fact that God has placed us to be people that are controlled. You have to control your own life. God doesn't make you. You should be allowing God to work in your life to control your thoughts and your actions. But he says ultimately that we are the one who is responsible for our own actions and what we say and what we do not say and what we do and what we do not do. We must say, I am in control for a while. But God should take over. Circumstances are the rulers of the weak, but they are but the instruments of the wise. You know, you grow through problems, don't you? The circumstances we ask God to change are often the circumstances God is using to change us. Now, you may be looking at your life today as a victim, and you're going through a lot of issues. And it just very well may be that God is using those circumstances to bring about a desired result. Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. He prayed about it. He went before the Lord at least three times, we know, and he said, God, please remove this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. And every time God would respond by saying, my grace is sufficient unto you. My grace, listen to this, is sufficient and my power is made perfect in your weakness. That is God saying, you know where you're weak in your life, you know what, you got my strength. I'm right with you. I'm going to walk with you through life. I'm going to see that you are the victor. And as I said, God woke us up this morning not to be pitiful, but to be powerful in Jesus. I design my future. It doesn't define me. Think about that a moment. Think about it. Do you define your future? Do you? Romans 8:28 says, all these issues that we face, we know that God causes everything to work out for our good. Do you know that if you're having a problem right now, maybe God working behind the scenes to bring about something that is marvelous and something that is going to be great for your life? You and I have the choice to have a better attitude. And it is something that nobody and no circumstance can take away from you. It's you. It's you. We all are called upon to make choices every day. Y'all made choices this morning, didn't you? You made a choice to get up and come to the house of worship this morning. You're making a choice to sing or not sing. You're making a choice to honor God. You're making a choice to let your mind go back to the cross when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We all make choices in life. And when we do, we ought to keep this one thought in mind. I want to make a difference in the world around me. My circumstances, again, do not make me what I am. They reveal who I have chosen to be. It's kind of like the bumper stickers on the back of the cars that say, you know, what you see is what you get. You know what, in our lives spiritually, what you see is what you get. People talk a lot about transparency, but you know what? You and I must be transparent people. We are transparent people before God. In actuality, He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Brings me to number three. I can improve. To improve my decisions is to improve. And that will result in who I am. You know, we always say things to people like, they need room for improvement. Y'all know anybody needs to improve or not? Y'all don't think the preacher needs to improve or not? Thank you. Lesson over. No, no, not really. We all ought to improve. Yeah, I see the need for improvement in your life, and surely you see it in my life as well. We don't. None of us really want to admit it. But whatever you do, Paul writes in Colossians 3:23, work heartily, not hardly, but heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Two things define you: your patience when you have nothing and your attitude when you have everything. That determines and it reveals who you are. You're not a victim. You are a victor. You are strong. You're powerful. And you're capable. Sometimes God closes doors because it's time to move forward. He knows we won't move unless circumstances force us to. You ever feel like you've been pushed into some kind of decision? Well, that's because maybe you're too lazy to make it yourself. Again, God woke us up this morning not to be pitiful, but to be powerful. I hope you'll remember that. That's why I put that in there several times. And when the enemy starts knocking on a door you closed long ago, you just need to say, Jesus, would you get the door? Let Him handle it. Then last of all, I will not make excuses. You know, all of us are pretty good at making excuses. How many of you men know that your wife makes excuses? Not a hand. There's one. Thank you, Jody. She's not here today. We all make excuses in life, do we not? An excuse is an attempt to lessen the blame attached to a fault or an offense. An effort to justify an action. That's what excuse is. Jesus told a parable one time about those that were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And one says, well, you know, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go see them, Lord. I'd be there, but you know how it is. Another said, I bought 5 acres of ground. I need to go see that land. You know, I just need to, Lord. I hope you'll understand. And another one said, I married a wife and I cannot come. Someone said that was the only legitimate reason. Now, I don't know if it is or not. Not in the eyes of God. But God doesn't like excuses. They all began, notice this, they manufactured excuses. They see themselves as a victim because they are an excuse maker. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The excuse wasn't there. They had to conjure it up. They had to make it in order for it to be there. Someone said that excuses are the tools of incompetence used to build monuments of nothingness. Excuses. You know, we'd all be faithful in worship if it weren't for excuses. We wouldn't see ourselves as victims. Poor little me. If it weren't for excuses. And I'm going to tell you the truth, you know, if we were to go around the room and let everybody write their excuses down, there would be a litany of excuses. But we should say, no more of this, I'll do it tomorrow. No more buts. Lord, I'd serve you, but no more I can't. No more, it's too hard. No more walking and waiting for it to get easier. God never said the Christian life's an easy life. No more putting it off. And no more, I don't have enough money. You know, people generally get money to do whatever they want to do, don't they? How many of you have plenty of money? Y'all may be the one I'm talking about here. I don't have enough money. Then. No more of, I'm not good enough. Or I would if I, and God looks at us and says, quit the excuses. Be a victim. No. Be a victor. Yes. Some people say, well, I'm too tired. It's just absolutely too hard. I'm too busy, too early for me to come to worship, they say. But you know what? You can draw a line through every one of those. You can. And remember, God woke you up this morning not to be pitiful, but to be powerful in Jesus. Love the life you have while you create the life of your dreams. I hope we all have aspirations to want to do better. I'm not going to sit down and worry about all the things that I've done in my life in the past and things that happened to me. I'm not interested in going back and living in the past. I tell you, I just look forward to the great future with God. And know that there's going to be some wonderful things that God is going to do in my life. Michael Jordan, the great athlete, said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games 26 times. I've been trusted to take the game, winning shot, and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. That's why I succeed. What's your excuse this morning? God wants us to be a winner. Someone said yesterday was the last day for complaints. You can be a whiner if you want to, but are you going to be a whiner or are you going to be a winner with God this morning? And we must realize that with God, all things are possible. You can be a winner or you can be a loser. You see, the winner says it may be difficult, but it's possible. The loser says it may be possible, but it's difficult. The winner says, see the gain. And losers say, oh, but the pain. Winners say, see the possibilities. And the loser says, see the problems. The winner says, make it happen. And the loser says, let it happen. Let it happen. Yes, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in the Church of the Living God here at Crockett Road. You can either be a drawback, or you can be one who is working to make it better. You're either feeding, by the way, your history or your destiny. You cannot feed both. What are you feeding this morning? Are you feeding your destiny or are you feeding your history? Your history needs no food. It's dead. It's gone. It's over. Sometimes we're like this light bulb up here. Our relationship with God is off and on. It's just blinking. Off and on. But God says, so let your light shine before the world that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The reasons we have hope is because of Jesus. He is our anchor. That's why one is baptized into Christ at the command of our Lord Jesus. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Christ says. And the winner says, I want to do it. And the loser says, I don't need to be baptized. When we get from beyond the walls of this building and we're out in the world, let us show Jesus to the world. Let us show Jesus and realize that our hope is alive and well. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, I wish I could tell you that you're a victor. But no, without Christ, you're a victim. Without coming to confess Him as Lord and Savior, and without coming to acknowledge Christ as the Son of God and to be baptized as a non-Christian, you're a victim. Lost, headed for hell. But if you're a member of the Lord's church and you know you've drifted away from God, you're not where you want to be, don't be a victim. Be a victor to the one who loves you more than life itself. Let us stand and let us sing.